Okay, so before we start with moving to Avram, I get a ride down every morning with Roy Spitz from Thornhill, and he just started learning the Drashot HaRan, which is a fascinating sefer of just philosophical treatises by the Ran, but he was enthralled by the first piece, which I hadn't thought about in since I've read it 10 years ago. I did it with the Chavrusa, but he actually has a fascinating analysis of the story of Migdal Bavel. So I just wanted to, in 5 minutes, summarize it, because it's a very different theory than anything we've seen. He presents the following theory, which he assumes applies in the natural world as well as in the social world. He says that the nature of things is that everything in the world, every element, every person, every animal, everything in the world has certain strengths and certain weaknesses. The reason that compounds in the physical world and communities and countries are stronger than the individual parts are because when you mix them all together, so they balance each other out. And even if one, let's say, we'll move to the social realm, but he thinks the same is true in the natural world, even if one person has a weakness, if someone else has the strength, so they can compensate for the weakness of someone else, right? That's true in a practical sense, right? If someone is a good builder and someone, right, is a good, right, planter, so then if you bring them together in the same community, so you'll have agriculture and you'll have architecture, you'll have buildings. Each of them independently would die because they don't have food or they don't have a place to live, but together they'll have both, right? And the sum of the parts will be greater than each of the individuals. The only time that's not true is if the only time that the sum is not stronger than the individuals is if every part of the whole share the same flaw. Because then they become compounded. Right? If everybody in the group has the same flaw, so then it just doubles and triples, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Right? And the damage that they could do as individuals isn't anything like the damage they can do as a group. Right? If one person harbors, let's say, right, racist, xenophobic tendencies, right, that's not as bad as when a large portion of the electorate in America is voting in that direction. It's much more dangerous, right? Hence, right, the fear in the American electorate, right? Because suddenly that gains force, and it's terrifying when it comes together as a group. So the Ran says, on the one hand, that's the reason that in general in Judaism we place so much emphasis on the community and say that, right, you should never be parish menat tzibur, you should always daven with the tzibur, because the koach, the strength of the community, is that you balance out each other's flaws in a spiritual sense, in an ethical sense, in a practical sense. But if you were to find a community where everyone shared the same flaw, that would be terrible. So he says that actually is what he thinks was happening in the Migdal Bavel story. So we noted last week that there were those who thought that it was a punishment, that there was sin in punishment, and those who thought that there wasn't. It was just that they hadn't spread out in the whole world, and God wanted to spread them out. And he takes a totally different approach. He says it wasn't that they did anything wrong. It wasn't even that they inadvertently did anything wrong. Nothing was wrong yet. The problem was that God recognized that they all had the same character flaws. Now, he doesn't explain what they were, but he just asserts that they were all flawed in the same way. And since they all spoke the same language and were all part of the same culture, if he had allowed them to build a city together, then it would have been negative because their flaws would have compounded. So what he did was, it wasn't even a punishment. It was just, because he saw that their flaws were the same, he changed their language, he changed their ability to communicate, forcing them to separate. And by forcing them to separate, their flaws couldn't play off of each other, and they were able to create successful societies rather than the flawed society that would have come into existence. So that's just the Ran's theory that he presents, which is fascinating. I don't know what the evidence is in the text. Right? I mean, he picks on the fact that there is no evidence in the text that there was a sin. But as opposed to the other Mefarshim who try to find the hint in the text as what they were doing wrong, he just comes up with his general theory and then applies it to the text and assumes that there was some flaw, and that's why he picks up the language. Right? That Hashem comes down and says, Zachilam la'asot. Right? This is what they're beginning to do. Right? He's pointing out they're not doing anything yet. He just sees that if we allow them to continue together, that will be a problem. So he stopped in his tracks and preventing it from becoming bad, but there really was no sin at all, which again, whether it's pshat or not, this story is definitely a radically different pshat than anybody else. I don't know anybody else who says it. But, you know, it is a fascinating theory, as long as, and I figured, if he happened to read it this week, and this was our discussion coming down in the car from Thornhill, it must be that I was supposed to share it. So the other thing that Ron says, which is interesting, that first piece in the drushos, in addition to an analysis of Migdal Bavel, has an analysis of the Gan Eden story as well, where, again, just briefly, his theory is that the way for human beings to live eternally is to attach themselves to God. In order to attach themselves to God, they have to focus on the spiritual, not the physical. So when God says, the day that you eat from the tree, you will die, it wasn't a punishment, it was a consequence. God was saying, if you separate yourself from God and devote yourself to the animalistic part of you to desire, so then you won't live forever, because the focal point of your life will become the physical, and the only way the physical can live eternally is if it has attached itself to the spiritual. But if you shift the balance in the direction of the physical, it won't work. So at which point they attach themselves to the physical by desiring, God said, you now can't eat from the Eitz HaChayim, because I can't allow you to attach physicality in that sense to God and make that eternal. That doesn't work. Right? So that's his sort of, you know, al regel achad, his theory of what's going on there. It's a fascinating piece if you want to look at it, different than some of the things we've seen. But again, since we saw it, I figured I would at least mention it. Okay.